Platovich is here to talk about his new novel, The Girl in the Boston Box, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Charlotte. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. And I'm so excited to be part of your program.
Tell us about your new book.
The Girl in the Boston Box is a multi-layered mystery. Its central conceit is that back in the 19th century, Boston architects put secret rooms into the buildings that they constructed. I say that it's a kind of urban legend. I call the book a Mystery Times 2. One concerns a young woman named Caitlin, who is a researcher and who starts poking around into this history of secret rooms and begins to uncover issues of murder and sex. And the second narrative concerns a down-and-out guy named Mark, who has to cope with the murder of his low-life brother and a tainted legacy that his brother has left him. Now, eventually, the two storylines connect, and that some of the fun of the book is as my two main protagonists try to figure out things that are going on around them, the readers sometimes know things that are going on that the protagonists themselves don't know. So it's a complex and, I hope, obviously fun mystery.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Boston is really the third major character in the book. I've lived here for decades. You'll learn a lot about its history, its neighborhood, its sites incorporated into the narration and the narrative. So I love Boston, and my book is really soaked in my enthusiasm about the city where I live.
What do you hope to accomplish with this book?
Well, first and foremost, I'm an entertainer. My second goal is a little bit more quirky. I have this thing when I travel to a new place, I like to read a book about where I'm going. With the Boston Box, it's almost as if I wrote the book about the city that I would like to read if I were going there. I should point out that it's very much a genre piece. It's a little bit of sex, a little bit of romance, a little bit of humor. But within those conventions, I think you'll learn a lot about Boston without really realizing it. It's almost as if a spoonful of sugar will help the medicine go down.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
Well, in this case, I just want to give my readers a first-class entertainment. But being entertaining can have several kinds of aspects. One is technical expertise. I want to make sure my writing is solid, that the prose is sometimes artful, that the dialogue is snappy, that the characters are rich. It can also mean that there are certain themes explored within the conventions of the genre. One doesn't have to dig too deep in The Girl in the Boston Box to find that there are tropes there about homophobia, about racism, and about sexism, among other things. One reviewer said that the book was aggressively woke, and he meant it as a compliment, I think. I don't want your listeners to get the idea that the book is preachy. It's not. For instance, one of my heroes is gay, but his gayness is not the story. It's very much a part of the story, but he's an action hero. It also means that he is complicated, that he is not perfect by any means, and his gayness is a part of the story, but it's not the story itself.
You live in Massachusetts. With the rise of COVID cases in your state, how are you adjusting to the new normal in these challenging times?
It's really such an odd time. Back in the spring, I did what everybody else did up here. We locked down. I had very little personal contact. I was careful about going shopping for groceries. And then the summer came around, and I was still careful, but I was taking calculated risk by, you know, meeting my friends outside or meeting only a certain small group of friends. With winter now and trying to scale back, it's confusing to try and find a balance between the total isolation that we experienced in the spring and now doing no harm to myself or others. So I'm walking a lot. I'm probably drinking and eating too much. I watch a lot of Hallmark movies where people are pretty and kind and drink a lot of cocoa and have happy endings to kind of keep my spirits up. And then I'm always wearing a mask, of course.
What do you hope to see happen in 2021 for our LGBTQ community?
Well, obviously, during the Trump years, we felt like we were under attack. And there were laws that were being fought, regulations that were being reversed. So I'm hoping with the Biden administration, we revert to what was, I think, a more enlightened stance about LGBTQ issues, that we will not see the kinds of reversals that we saw over the last 4 years. I'm also hoping for a kind of rhetoric that suggests that we are all in this together. We are not opposed to one another. I think that's going to be difficult. People on both sides of the spectrums right now are kind of dug in their heels and are very ready to fight and argue about their position. So I'm hoping that we'll move into a kinder and gentler era.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids dealing with these challenging times?
Well, the situation, of course, is really heartbreaking. I came out decades ago, and these days I'm sometimes shocked to see that even in liberal cities like Boston, people are struggling with self-acceptance, and society is somewhat struggling with accepting LGBTQ people. The first piece of advice I would give anyone who's dealing with their sexuality is that there are a lot of resources out there. If you have a phone or access to the internet, there are places where one can get support. It's very easy to Google something and find organizations. In Boston, for instance, we have Bagley. There are chapters of organizations like PFLAG everywhere. There is also the obvious mantra that's been out there about being LGBTQ is that it does get better. Over time, my friends have been great to me. I've had family support. I've had professional support that I would just remind people that eventually they will be able to craft a life that is happy and fulfilling and that they will not have to be alone.
How can people get information about the Girl in the Boston Box?
Well, all of the usual ways. It's available mostly online through places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound. If you like to support your local bookstore, you can go online and order through IndieBound, and it'll give them credit for the book. You can walk into any bookstore, and they can order it for you. If you want to find more about the book, you can go to my Facebook page on the Boston Box. I also have a Twitter feed. You can also request it from your library and ask them to order a copy.
What other projects are you working on?
Of course, right now I'm fairly deep into promoting the Girl in the Boston Box and trying to figure out ways to reach people and let them know about the book. Other than that, I have the first draft of a young adult novel that I will work on recrafting. I also have the idea for a second book that's kind of like The Girl in the Boston Box. Think of a mystery, but in a different city. That being said, that's going to require time and research and money to bring into fruition.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through these difficult times?
I think my impulse was to begin with one of the common phrases that we hear, like seize the day. The one phrase that I have on my refrigerator door is something like, remember that there is nothing more important than this day. That being said, it seems kind of commonplace advice, so I did go to my Facebook page to see what I put there as my motto, and it's above all, get a good haircut. What that means to me is that you take good care of yourself and you put your best foot forward. And with that, I would like to wish everybody a happy new year.